Hello, everybody. I am Mike Quinsey, and I'm hosting a program that I have called Connecting the Light. And I must thank Donald Newson for giving me this wonderful opportunity. So many people like to share information with others, and that is what I aim to do through this program. What I will do is look back at recent messages and articles that have come my way over the last week or so, and select the high points and try to see where other messages and articles might have a similar message. As you would expect, one often finds this to be the case. The format I shall use will be to start each program with a look at Sheldon Neidl's weekly message. For me, Sheldon's messages are the tops, and I use his information as my Bible for everything that is happening connected with Nasara and First Contact. And what I shall also do with that part of the program is include any other information about those two subjects. Then I shall review very briefly my own messages for the week, and then others that I have received, and throw in any other interesting information. Obviously, I do not want to get involved into negative discussion, but if something is relevant to what I'm referring to, I may highlight it. So, let's start, and for those listeners who do not know my background, I will just go through some of the details which is now contained in my biography, which is already on BBS Radio. I was brought up in a small family who had no religious interest at all, but I went to Sunday school every week, and I had a Protestant upbringing. I never really took to Orthodox religion because I was always an inquisitive child, and whilst I loved mysteries, I always wanted to know the answers, and unfortunately I could not get the answers to many of the things that I asked about. So I rather left that side of my life aside. I got married, had two young children, but in the early 70s I started seeking again. I wanted to know more about God and what the purpose of life was. And it occurred to me that maybe I might get some lead on this by going back into the ancient civilizations as far back as I could to find out what their beliefs were. At that time, that took me back to Egypt. I was unaware of any other civilization that was older. And that proved to be a very interesting and attractive period to me, which I later learned may have been because I have been given an incarnation in Egypt. And I quickly found reference to Edgar Cayce's articles. I expect many of you will know that Edgar Cayce was a wonderful seer who simply went to sleep, as it were, and a being called Ra came through him, one who he said was actually his incarnation in early times in Egypt when it first started, some 10,000 years BC. And from his readings, they compiled a book which was about Egypt and about an earlier civilization that I hadn't heard of called Atlantis, and I think there was also a mention of Lemuria. So I enjoyed myself searching for information on that. And in the course of doing that, I saw in one of our local papers an advert for an organization called the Atlanteans. And of course, that really took my interest. I wondered whether it was really about Atlantis and those type of things, because you could say what's in a name. Anyway, I went to the group one evening and I found that their teachings came through a being being who called himself Heliocarnathus, which he said meant high priest of the sun. And he was, in fact, the high priest of the sun during one of the highly spiritual periods in Atlantis. Now, immediately, I felt at home with these teachings. And it's a strange thing that as I read them, I felt that I already knew it. It was as though the information was there, just waiting to be brought to the surface again. Eventually, I was so keen, I started up my own branch in my own locality, and I ran weekly meetings, all types of things, Atlantean teachings, I had clairvoyance there, and so forth. And once a month, one meeting was dedicated to the Universal Network. I set this up through Chuella, who I'm sure many of you know, who was at that time fully channeling Lord Ashtar. And in fact, she's written, I think, at least two books based on his messages. I also set up Galacticum Europa for another American lady called Carol Hall, and that was to sell her books and cassette tapes, as she also channeled messages from Ashtar. Now, eventually, the Atlanteans ran its course. I think that was about 7 years, and during that time, I gave talks to my groups and to others. The talks were about spirit and about ETs, and in fact, anything generally in the positive side of the occult. I had a period when I went for a year to develop for psychometry. That wasn't particularly successful. And I also had around a year in a private meeting to make a contact with ETs through mind to mind. And it was during that period that I had my best UFO sighting of quite a number that I've had. I'll tell you about that a little bit later. I moved then, for job reasons, from outer London in the 80s into the area that I'm in now, in Kent, which is in southern England. And as the Atlantean Society had done its bit, I met a good friend who's still with me now, Jim Hipkiss, and I gave talks. And eventually, he offered me the editor's post for his local magazine called Quest, a magazine that is a local one, and it's for the spiritual growth of the individual. My next phase came when I retired in December 1999. I had started to use a computer to type out my articles, and I then went on to the internet, and that quickly brought me into contact with the website my messages are normally posted on, which is the Tree of the Golden Light. And I noticed there was a section there that asked people to submit articles to the ET section. So I asked if they would accept mine, and they did, and starting in October 2004, I started to send articles forward, which are now still on the website. I'm sorry, I've got that date wrong there. I started submitting mine in, I think it was October 2003, and it was in the following year, in March 2004, that I was told by Nancy Tate, who channels the daily wake-up calls from that site, that Saint Germain wanted to speak to me. So I'm now going to tell you how I started to receive my messages and how I prepare for them. I was asked to sit at my computer each morning to receive the messages, and that is where it started. I decided that getting up early before the day really started in earnest, with all the noise outside, the distractions, etc., would be a good time. Hopefully one wakes up and feels refreshed. And I have a pattern of working, and each morning I'm ready to start receiving a message at 7 o'clock in our time. I prepare myself by relaxing, and I call up Saint Germain, and I put protection around me, and that was it. I started channeling from Monday to Saturday, and it's remained that way ever since. I mainly have Saint Germain who comes through to speak to me, but there are other ETs of various names who, bar one exception, all come from Sirius and are part of the Galactic Federation. I have another ET called Elar who comes from Arcturus. To date, I have channeled something over 400 messages, and I have to say I'm still enjoying it. Sometimes I wonder where all the information comes from. I wonder what more is left. But as you will find with messages that come through on a regular basis, there cannot help but be that some repetition in the messages, but that is the way it is. Now, I'll mention, as I'm covering my background, the UFO sighting that I referred to. And I was going home in my car one evening from one of the meetings. I think it was about 12 o'clock midnight, and I was driving down a hill, and suddenly a UFO appeared in front of me. It had come from behind the car and came into my view through the windscreen, and this was really fantastic. It was a silver blue pulsating disc, and it seemed to be going very slowly, and it was very large. It gave the impression that it was quite low. And I must have seen it for about 10 seconds, and then as I got nearer to the bottom of the hill, it disappeared over the rooftops which were ahead. I had to think that this was a result of our attempts to make a mind-to-mind contact with the ETs. And we did have one who led our group who could do that quite easily. So that was wonderful and very encouraging. In fact, I think most of my life I've loved the mysteries that are connected with ETs and their UFOs and whatever. But of course today we have a lot more information. But in my early days we had in Great Britain the UFO flats, as I think they call them, from the 1940s, that is the latter part. And in those days, it made a lot in the press. Now, I want to start off the real program by reviewing this week's report from Sheldon Neidl, which for anyone who doesn't normally read them, I will tell you that they come through the spiritual hierarchy and the Galactic Federation. I have to say this week's was wonderfully strong, very detailed and positive, and I should think it would give everybody a lot of heart regarding the coming changes which are accompanied by the benefits which we've been promised from the SARA and the occasion of first contact. Now, you will have had to read the weekly messages to pick up the threads, but what Sheldon Neidl has said is that progress has been made to unseat the last cabal and his cronies. And in my opinion, and I think it's not easy to to conclude this, I think unseating the cabal is the very act that will open the door to the full benefits of Nassara coming our way and first contact being announced. He told us that the prosperity programs are coordinating delivery schedules to coincide with the political aims to change the people in the government. He said the world is ready to explode with events that would have been deemed impossible a few months ago. And that's quite amazing, because Sheldon Neidl with the Sirians obviously is talking mainly about first contact. One wonders what could be more exciting and more astonishing than those events. So it leaves us perhaps watering at the mouth, wondering what he really means. No doubt we will learn very soon. He said that designated provisional leaders chosen by the Galactic Federation's Earth allies are preparing themselves to assume temporary command of the American government and those of other numerous nations. One has to remember that these are worldwide events, but they will have their announcement, I think, in the United States, and that is where it will grow from. He went on to say that these events are the opening salvo to unmask the last cabal and the start of a series of unprecedented criminal proceedings. He confirms that they come to cleanse the pollution of our land and water and the eradication of poverty, disease and want from humanity's midst. And said all of this will start as soon as first contact is accomplished. Something that I've never noticed come up before, he said that nations are to announce simultaneously programs that will ensure the success of the goals. And he talks of heaven, which I wonder perhaps in this sense is the Galactic Federation, who will set forth the objectives and provide the means to achieve them. Wonderful. He also talks of a total overhaul of our theological beliefs, our scientific hypotheses, and even assumptions about our origins as a species. And he said, even how you view yourself as a global society will change. And all of this is a prelude to your return to full consciousness. Full consciousness, in this case, leading to the promised ascension, which Sheldon's people spoke of quite often. He said, heaven will introduce you to a set of sacred standards that will permit you to adapt quickly to a new reality. And he concluded it with, this is only the start. Boy, I can't wait for this to happen. There was an odd comment that I will bring out from the rest of the message, and it's something perhaps that we have often suspected, that the Cold War, which America and Russia were engaged in, was false. So, we can look forward to the proceedings kicking off with a number of astonishing global events. And he's mentioned that the next step is to redistribute your world's wealth and power. Well, one cannot help but see that being tied in with the benefits of Nassara. He mentions that there will be a new way of doing business, and work will be contributed out of inner joy and not external survival needs. And that is wonderful as well. So I'll finally say that with this will come the introduction of long sought after technologies, which he's mentioned many times, and community welfare, he says, becomes more important than profit. So this is wonderful. The whole emphasis within is not simply to help humanity, but also to heal planet Earth. Now, I will in passing mention one or two other aspects that relate to this subject, and I cannot help but refer to the site Capricorn, which covers the starship Capricorn, and it's been very, very encouraging for a long time now, but it has been a little bit frustrating that events are often said to be manifesting within days of the message being received, but for some reason they don't occur. So I can't help thinking it would be nice if Helen of the spaceship could throw some light on why their communication doesn't seem to be quite accurate at times. I'm bearing in mind that ETs generally have highly advanced technologies, and one would think that their communications would be perhaps a little more reliable. I'm also puzzled a little bit why they fear the Air Force, which has commands to shoot UFOs down. Again, I would have thought that their technologies would completely protect their craft, but it is possible That's what they really mean, is that they do not want confrontation. And I could agree with that. That wouldn't make a very good impression at all. I then refer to Dove, who many of you will probably know is the name for the main communicator of what is happening with Nisara. And I noticed on one of the last reports I read that they're holding a lot of meetings now, and they have put on audio, in fact, not audio, video, the last meeting, which was held in LA, and evidently it was 3 hours long, and they're putting that one out at a very cheap price, I think $5 per copy, which is cost price. Now, also come to John Perkins, who is an author of a book on economics, and I read a short piece on Jennifer Lee's website, Solar Disk of the Sun, that he was quoted as saying that the Federal Reserve is no more as from the 1st of October, and that the Treasury banking system is fully in place, and that an announcement is forthcoming. Well, that will be wonderful indeed, and to me that is the first, that's one of the first movements of Nisara. There's also been some news that people have been to the banks and been able to exchange $100 Federal Reserve notes for the new currency, which has been called the Rainbow Notes. So again, I think this is a sign that Nisara is on the move. I recall that quite some time ago, Saint Germain said that Nisara did not need to be formally announced as was originally planned, and it could go ahead as and when. So perhaps we're seeing the proof of this. Now, Dr. Richard Boylan is, according to his own articles, the Earth member of the High Council of the Star Nations. And I read an article that came through him, which was put on Michael Worldwide newsletter, which is Russ Michael, excellently done. It comes out at least once a day, and it's very easy to read, which I like it. And it's very colourful, because Russ highlights what he thinks are the points to really bring home. Now, I will cover a little bit of that, because I feel it's very interesting. And he has said that the Star Nations are going to hold the Cabal accountable for violations of universal laws, and that they held a new hearing recently about Cabal violations of universal laws, and members of the High Council of Star Nations were in attendance. And it is said, apparently, that the Cabal had violated 11 cosmic laws and the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights. He said that the High Council accepted all the charges and that the Cabal stood convicted of multiple counts of violations of universal laws. I can't help thinking it's wonderful that these dark forces who feel totally immune to have to account for their actions, little realize that there are higher laws which they have to answer to. Richard Boylan went on to say that a substantial part of what the Cabal have built as their power base will be removed. And he believes that the result will be a gradual and accelerating dismantling of the Cabal's empire. He talks of it being apparent within the next 2 years, if not sooner. I think myself, in light of the other messages, I think it will be a lot, lot sooner. I hope so. He went on to do an addendum to that particular report, and I don't want to quote too much from articles I've got. I would rather pass comment. But there is one very, very small paragraph here that I think is worth reading of the article I've got, and he says, The Cabal are also the rogue group behind the continuation of the unauthorized UFO cover-up. And he says, unfortunately, the Cabal has its proxies on some of the seats in the special studies group of the U.S. National Security Council, which controls official government UFO information and access. Well, I mean, this has been one of the most incredible things over, what are we looking at least 50 years, that there's been so much UFO activity, so much evidence on film, photograph, video, so many witnesses, very reliable ones, so many sightings, and even contacts. And yet we have the government, which for ulterior motives refuses to acknowledge their reality. Of course, well, I can see that the longer it goes on, the harder it is for them to come clean, because clearly they have a lot of explaining to do. And I think particularly now, as things are deteriorating upon the earth, the idea that we have a family out in space that are wishing to contact us and help us, shall we say, put things right, is a very attractive idea. And I think the Dark Cabal know that once this knowledge is generally known, it will be the end of their hold on power. Now, there's another fellow on our website, Tree of the Golden Light, called Dan Kleiser. And he has a friend who has a contact with an ET. And every now and again, he passes out an update. And one came through on the 12th of October, and he was talking about the star nation Armada, which is a big fleet of spaceships and motherships, which are going to protect the planet against outside dark agenda forces, interfering while the important change towards the light takes place on Earth. His ET contact said that the Armada, that is in the ring of Saturn, has been increased 2.7 times in size. Doesn't actually say how big it is, but we know from some of Sheldon Neidl's previous messages, in total we're talking about something like a million craft that are in different rings away from the Earth ready to take part in the changes. The Galactic Federation is of a formidable size. It is comprising of well over 30 different planets. It may not necessarily follow that they are all at a high stage in technology, but I believe they're certainly well in advance of what we even have now. He said that this military armada is defensive, and I think by military we must accept that it is purely for defensive purposes. The Galactic Federation does not attack. In fact, they avoid any confrontation as far as possible. The ET contact went on to say that some time ago that the ambassadors had arrived in Baltimore, come Washington DC area, and were protected by advanced technology. And they had been communicating with some of the members of Congress. And there are apparently 19 ambassadors here and 56 worldwide. He said that in future, a third of the Milky Way galaxy had been destroyed and been traced back to this pivotal time frame, and this has now been stopped. So let me repeat, they looked into the future to see where what is happening on the Earth today would lead us and the planets in the Milky Way if there was not a stop put to what is happening. He says that at first the slow stream of the ruling elite money people who had blocked abundance aid to the needy were removed and taken to environmental domes on Mars, which were turned into prisons. I have read that before, that people had been taken off the planet. I mean, we can clearly have any proof of it, but it's quite possible within the abilities of the ETs that are contacting us. And I think we can accept that there is evidence of some life on Mars, the same as the Moon. our ET friend says that seven sentinels would descend to help with Earth, and that they will deal with difficult problem places like the Middle East. It's strange, actually. Not a lot more came up following the reports I heard many months ago, but there were occasionally ones which indicated that UFOs were actually seen over areas like Baghdad. Got a final comment from Dan Kleiser's friend, and he said that one of the things he left out is that our news is manufactured, and I think that's been pretty apparent. And he said he asked them about bird flu, and they said, as far as they could tell, it is a made-up story. Now, I think there's no doubt that bird flu exists, but what may be made up is the size of the threat that it is. And we have George Bush, do we not, having been quoted as saying that if bird flu got too serious, he would use that as a pretext for declaring martial law. So maybe there is a reason behind that. The ET also mentioned about the destruction of three major underground mine control bases in the Soviet Union. And that isn't beyond imagining. We do know that both the US and Russia have investigated that side very thoroughly. Indeed, there is clearly a lot which is extremely secret that we only have an inkling of. He said it was almost 4 years ago that they took the Dark Agenda, New World Order, stronghold on the moon, where the Dark Agenda had stolen gold that belonged to the Earth. Now, he concluded that by saying that, for instance, he's talking of the ETs, they respect the sovereignty of each country. And when they come down, they will sign treaties with each one, and not with a worldwide leader somewhere, even if there were one. So they've said that all along, that when they come, they will observe our way, our diplomatic way of doing things, our protocol, and everything will be done above board and quite legally. Now, I realise as time is racing on here that I've got far more information which I could relate to than I had time for. And that doesn't matter, that will give me a good basis for the next programme. But I want to just do a quick resume of my own messages. And I had one on the 10th of October where Saint Germain mentioned that souls leaving the earth have agreed to it, and makes the point that there is no pain with death. And he also mentioned that nothing happens by chance. And I think this was meant to be a direct reference to the landslide and the earthquake in Islamabad in Pakistan. On the 11th of October, I had Diane through, and she was talking about the compassion which we have shown in the event of these tragedies, and how each one is a challenge to us. And I think humanity has come out very well in their response. She spoke of a plan for the remaining years, which is to open our hearts and see how we are responsible for each other, and reminded us that we are one family. On the 12th of October, Salusar came through and asked us to live our true reality, not be bound by our physical experiences or existence. He emphasised that it is just for experience. Then on the 13th of October, I had Atmos through, who spoke of how the dark will get away with absolutely nothing. He said everything is known about them, and they will answer for their crimes. He said that earth changes will be so rapid that we will hardly know where we stand. And he confirmed that competition in business, etc., will be replaced by sharing, caring, and people will help to cleanse the earth. So there's a total change coming which will affect our outlook and the way we view one another. I'll also quickly do a survey or a review of Nancy Tate's messages, and she had St. Germain through on the 5th of October, and he was writing saying that the kingdom of heaven is on earth, and that we shall create the way of life, and there shall be no darkness. And he said this is generally because we have agreed to take part in the experience, and this is the time we have all been planning. It is the ending of the great play that he said we wrote, meaning the spiritual hierarchy, God, whatever, and which we performed. And he mentions that a new play is about to start. Now, Nancy channels each day, and she has quite long messages at times. And unlike myself, she is sometimes able to ask questions. And on the 7th of October, she spoke with Hatton, and she asked, why are we living in this reality of war and so forth? And he said that people on earth have a mission to return to the Creator and realize who they are. And he talks of bending linear timelines so that we can go into this completion, and how to get out of realities that keep returning. And he said at this point in time, there is a new idea taking place. And as you come to this, the apex of this life choice of free will duality, you are also approaching the energies from which you came to earth. He said, we have all agreed that this is the timeline from which we will choose another one. From Nancy's comments, she found that particular message at times difficult to express in our words. But I think if we're discerning and intuitive, we don't pay too much attention to the precise words. But if we open our inner knowing, we will receive, I think, understanding of the subject. In another message on the 7th of October, the 10th of October, there was reference to the planet Earth and events that were about to befall it. And Saint Germain said that we find a sequence of events that will spiral and bring all that has been acting to bring down the present dark agenda and to release all of the tyranny that has been mounting over the years. So we get confirmation from different sources that the end of this cabal is in sight. He mentions that we are speeding up the time, and the result would be that the light would be felt more profoundly and at such a rate of increase as to awaken all those who still kept their remembrance intact to the degree that it was allowed within the duality energy. She talks of the Federation sending our love, also about the dark perspective, who actually expected us to accept their role, and unfortunately they cannot see that we are equal. And Saint Germain asked us to have compassion upon these dear ones, because at the end of the day they are exactly like us in the sense that they still have a God spark within them. On the 11th of October, Nancy spoke with Sananda, and he had thoughts about creation. And he actually put a question to us, and he said, when was the last time you wondered about where this world is going, and what was your answer? And he speaks about the need to create your own reality, and through that it will manifest. And he posed a question, but what will happen to the original thoughts? And he replied by saying that they are forever creating. And he explained how it occurs and what happens, and how that which is put out of balance is is removed. Now, I'm coming already, and I can't believe it, to the latter part of my program, which neatly gives me time to talk about something that must be quite astonishing in this day and age, and that was an announcement by Ruth Gledhill, who is a religion correspondent, that the Catholic Church no longer swears by the truth of the Bible. Now, I think people who have searched for the truth themselves, being open-minded and not held down by any rigid creed, can see that that is the case. But I think for the Church to admit it is a very big step, fortunately, in the right direction. Now, I'm not going to read too much out, but there are very good points to put over, particularly if you have not heard of this so far. The report that was put out was apparently made by the Catholic bishops of England, Wales and Scotland, and they are warning their 5 million worshippers, as well as others drawn to the study of the scripture, that they should not expect total accuracy from the Bible. And they said we should not expect to find in scripture full scientific accuracy or complete historical precision. They go on to say that in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, in which two different and at times conflicting stories of creation are told, are among those that this country's Catholic bishops insist cannot be historical. At most, they say, they contain historical traces. And in the documents, they acknowledge their debt to the biblical scholars. They say the Bible must be approached in the knowledge that it is God's words expressed in human language, and that proper acknowledgement should be given both to the Word of God and its human dimensions. They talk of the notorious anti-Jewish curse in Matthew 27:5, and they say that these and other words must never be used again as a pretext to treat Jewish people with contempt. And they describe this passage as an example of dramatic exaggeration. And the bishops say they have had tragic consequences in encouraging hatred and persecution. And they say that the attitudes and language of first century quarrels between Jews and Jewish Christians should never again be emulated in relations between them. And they similarly refute the apocalyptic prophecies of Revelation, the last book of the Christian Bible, in which the writer describes the work of the risen Jesus, the death of the beast, and the wedding feast of Christ the Lamb. And they say that such symbolic language must be respected for what it is, and not to be interpreted literally. They list at the end of this report, in detail, a number of parts of Genesis which they say are not true. And they actually head it by that word, untrue. They go on to mention stories which they still believe in, where God reveals himself to Moses as the I am who I am, in Exodus, where he said, I will be your God and you shall be my people, the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, and Peter declares Jesus to be the Christ, the virgin birth, and proof of bodily resurrection. Well, I think that's wonderful. That goes a long way towards bringing religion into a new way of thinking. And if we are to believe the ETs who are coming to Earth, they will at some stage be accompanied by the return of the Masters. And they are coming specifically to bring the different religions together by bringing out the truth. After all, there is only the one God, and there is only the one truth. I can quickly refer on this same type of subject that there is a lady on the Four Winds 10 site who is called Candace, and she believes that the second coming will happen before very much longer. And I notice that she's doing very, very good work in getting letters sent to the churches to announce it. And as I read it, she is setting up her own website to cover this event. So I think that's wonderful, as often happens when people take it upon themselves to bring such information to the general public. There is a wonderful site that has just come onto the web, which is to cover messages now being received from Pope John Paul II. Now, in light of the message I've just recently read out, or the article I should say, regarding the Catholic Church, I think this is wonderful because maybe it will open the minds of many people that might otherwise have not believed that Pope John Paul could speak through a channel. And I've never been a particularly religious follower, but the messages that are coming through really do have a ring of truth about them, and I feel quite good about them, I must admit. These are coming through Caroline Evers, and I'll mention the site as it's a relatively new one, because it is www.popejohnpaulspeaks.com. Now, I haven't got sufficient time to read out too much from the message that I've got so far, but the Pope said that there would be a grand spiritual advancement which would come to the world, but before this wondrous event there would be much suffering. I think that must be a direct reference to the period of cleansing which the earth is going through at the moment, and the resultant deaths and injuries. But that is unavoidable, I feel, because the earth must cleanse itself. He said that there had been many discussions on his side formulating plans as to how these progressions will be revealed. And he said that some of the masters and guidance from the elder brothers have taken a position that this knowledge should not be given at this time, while others have taken the position that the people on earth should be given the plans in detail. And, of course, there are those who stand for the middle road, revealing small pieces of the future in bite-sized pieces. He said that Master Mother Mary, my Queen, has decided that the knowledge should be given in full, and at this time she feels that you are advanced enough that you can face the future. And he says, yes, there will be fear, but it is for this very reason that we give indications of what will occur, so that you can overcome your fears and make decisions and choices with your soul progression as the matrix for the future. He says that before he made his entry, that he discussed this with Mother Mary, and she had a plan in mind, and the plan was simple, that he was to come and offer his services as the leader of the Roman Catholic Church. He said, I had to come when I did, because of communism and its forces had to be stopped, so that pinpointed an entry date for me. He said, our Queen chose the Roman Catholic Church as it was the great force in the world, and leadership of the Church would be respected and noticed. And he said, I had to be old enough to oppose communism, but young enough to transition at this period of Earth history. And he said, I understood all of this when I lived among you. The Queen of Heaven came to me every day, and we planned and discussed her plans that she wished to integrate into action based upon the reactions of the human type to events. And as I think Caroline Evers has put in there, whether you love Pope John Paul II or not, and his stand on certain issues, she said he brings information through that concerns all of us because it concerns our future. And in the article, he goes on to comment about the tsunami, earthquake in the Indian Ocean, how group thought can command a future direction for the Earth. He mentions that there is a new world coming, and he mentions some of the worries and the problems, but out of it all will come the changes that will bring us the improvements and the increase in our consciousness that we require to see our way through to the end of this particular cycle. And he said, every part of the world will seem to pop in your consciousness, eventually showing a struggle that will seem to have no solutions. But he said, any action, direct or indirect, politically, economically or medically, will surface, and there will be clashes that will be heard around the world. But he said, the time of secrecy is over. Much is secret presently, but it is on the edge of being revealed. You will see politicians fall from grace, and you will see economic problems seemingly erupt everywhere, but the movement of the layers of rock beneath you will be resetting themselves. He speaks about how our physical body is changing, and also regarding Earth changes, and also what is going to happen in the future regarding church doctrine. So that's all I will quote upon from that particular site, but it's well worth the mention. Well, it seems already, and I can hardly believe it, that it is my time to bring this program to a close. So I will thank you very much for being with me this hour, and I trust I've made it interesting for you. And on future occasions, if I find it needs rebalancing, I will do so. I think I certainly have to set my targets a bit lower. I had a whole ream of stuff here that I could have spoken to you about. I do invite your comments, but I would ask you to please remember that I'm only expressing my own opinion. If you wish to email me, I'm quite happy with that, and you can note my address if you have not already got it, which is mike@quinsey.wanadoo.co.uk. And I will now bid you all goodbye, and may you all take part in connecting the light. Until I talk to you again next Friday, God bless you all. Thank you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.